This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Imagine this. You lay down at the end of a long day to get some sleep, but your thoughts won't let you. They won't just shut up. You're aware sleep is good for you and it'll help you feel better, but you just can't shut your thoughts off. If this is you, therapy could be helpful to figure out what's making your brain fight against your well-being. I stand therapy. It's helped me put an end to a few unhealthy learned behaviors. If you're considering therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online, so it can easily accommodate your busy schedule. Just complete a simple questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist as soon as possible. If you don't love your therapist for any reason, you can get a new one at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BPLP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BPLP. Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we dive into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help Black people feel seen. Please feel free to donate to the show at the link in the show notes, and please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches, word to Yo Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of the things. And if you really like the show, join the Patreon family at patreon.com/blackpeopleloveparamore. I'm your host, Sequoia. I'm a little bit sick, but still Sequoia. And today, joining me to talk about Bring It On, we have Laura and Shelby from the Sisters Who Watch podcast. Thank you for joining, y'all.
Hello, you, Sequoia. Excited to be here.
Please tell the folks a little bit about yourselves, about your projects.
Yeah, yes. Shelby, go ahead.
So I'm Shelby, and Laura and I are sisters. We recently started. Yeah, shocker. Don't we look like twins? We recently started a podcast called Sisters Who Watch, which is the entertainment review podcast where we come together, give our diverse perspectives on diverse content. So everything from the trashiest of reality TV shows, no shade to The Bachelorette or Love Island, but they're trashy and we love them.
You do.
To the buzziest of movies like Barbie from this summer, as well as sports, concerts, loading our new episode on the Renaissance World Tour. It'll be great. Yes, we have that for y'all soon. And we just love watching content. So we're like, why not review, share recommendations with people, and bring it to the world?
Yes, that's it. So yes, Shelby and I are sisters. We're best friends. We're 4 years apart, but we do pretty much everything together. So we watch literally everything. So every week we call each other on the phone and be like, did you see what happened on the show? We got to talk about this. And we spend hours just talking about the hottest, you know, TV shows, movies, etc. So we were like, let's do a podcast. We've always wanted to do something like this together. And we love entertainment. We love being creative. And this has been the perfect outlet to do all those things.
That is incredible. If y'all want to hear two Black girlies talking about the latest movies, shows, etc., etc., go check out the podcast.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun time. Also, y'all are so pretty. I just, if y'all are not watching this on YouTube, go look at it because they're stunning. So, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So happy to have y'all.
Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Happy to have y'all. Before we get into talking about Bring It On, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is our segment where we bring one of our unpopular opinions and defend it for you all. I have one this week. This is not constant. I don't always have one, but I do.
Look at you.
Would you like me to go first or would you all like to go first?
You're the host.
Kick it off, please. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. I'll go first. Mine is Bring It On related. I think this is kind of mild. I've never said this, so I don't really know how mild or hot of a take this is, but I feel like it's probably not that hot. I feel like I didn't like Kirsten Dunst in this role. I would have rather seen specifically Reese Witherspoon. I am a Reese Witherspoon like stan, and so I just think that she could always kill most roles, but this feels like it would have been a good one for her, especially because it was a year before Legally Blonde. It feels kind of like a similar type of character role type situation. So I would have preferred it. Also, super hot take, I don't like Legally Blonde at all as a film. So I just
Wow.
like don't like it. So if it came down to this or Legally Blonde, I think she should have done this. Not that she had the opportunity, I don't know, but I would have chosen this. That's it.
Ooh, I like
two hot
it.
one. Yeah,
It was real hot. Yep. I know that second one was hot, but yeah.
the second one was hot. The second one was hot. The first one, I agree with you. I feel like here's we both recently rewatched Bring It On, and Kirsten Dunst was fine. Like, I don't know if it aged well. Like, she just wasn't as good as I thought she was when I saw it like years ago. So I
Definitely. She's very fine.
agree. She's fine. Literally fine. Okay, that's it.
That's it. Yeah. That's all I had, y'all. What y'all got?
Okay, I'll go next. Okay, so I was thinking a lot about this, but here's my hot take. So of course, women are can rap, right? Like,
Yes.
period. And I
That's
think
right.
now male rappers are a thing of the past. Oh,
If they're
I
not, they should be. Yeah.
think that's right. The most popular rappers are women, right? Coi Leray, Ice Spice, Nicki Minaj is still putting out new content, new songs at the forefront of culture. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, Sexy Red, Flo Milli, all the up and coming most popular people in rap are women. I mean, facts are facts, right? And
No lies
see,
told.
right?
100%.
And Drake, Kendrick, they're great. But what have they done recently? Right? I can't name a Drake song from the past 3 years, personally.
Oof.
Personally.
I
Oh.
mean, okay, Laura, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you the are you younger than Shelby?
Yes, I'm the youngest. Yes.
Okay, how old are you, if you don't mind me
I'm
saying?
23.
Okay. I think it's so funny that like even Gen Z, I feel like you're bordering. Are you bordering?
Yeah, I'm
Yes.
on the cusp, a cusper. Yeah.
Even Gen Z is saying like the boys are out, you know? Like we're not
I mean,
the millennials are not just
the
old. We're
time
not
has
just old
gone.
and hating. Gen Z is saying the boys are out. So step it up, y'all. I don't know what to tell you. It's not me. Okay.
I step it up. Exactly. The woman, we're running the show, literally. Step it up,
Yeah.
boys.
Quickly. Expeditiously. Thank you.
Yes. That was a good one.
Was pretty
It
hot. That was a good one. It
was
was pretty warm.
hot.
That
Thank
was
you.
pretty warm. Yeah, I liked it.
Yes. That was good. Okay. I feel like mine might be a little hot.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. I love a hot take. A real hot take. I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. I feel like all black people should know how to play cards. Like, it's.
I'm so attacked. I'm so attacked. Wow.
Laura and I grew up playing cards. Our grandparents taught us. Shout out to them. We play spades, bid whist, you name it. We play it all. And I know, should we get our fans?
Hot. It's hot.
I just feel like
It
our generation is missing out. I want to play cards with somebody. And I feel like every event, it's Uno or dominoes, which are great. But why aren't we playing spades? So,
Whew,
yeah, I feel
wow.
like our generation needs to figure it out. We need to do trainings across the country, teach people how to play spades or something, because we need to make it happen.
Wow. You know what? That one was very spicy. That one was very spicy. It attacked me personally as a non-spades playing black. Also, don't know how to play bid whist. My whole family plays bid whist. And they don't play spades. My family plays bid whist. And I'm always like, oh, I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna learn. They're like, when are you gonna learn? I'm like, well, if y'all didn't take this damn game so seriously, I would learn. But I can't learn because if I do something wrong, I'm getting kicked outside.
Right.
So I don't understand what I'm supposed to learn, but I am with you about Uno. There's an episode of this podcast, Black People Love Uno,
Yes.
on which I go on record and explicitly say, I don't like that game. I don't want to play it with y'all. I'm tired of y'all trying to make me play it. I would much rather learn spades and play
Yeah.
it than keep having to play Uno with y'all at games, game night. I don't want to do it.
It's a lot of
So,
Uno right
okay.
now.
It's a lot of Uno. I don't know how to play dominoes either, for what it's worth. So there's that. I'm sure that one's easier to learn, though. I look at it, I'm
Yeah.
like, I feel like this is just some
Yeah.
addition going on, but sure. But Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right. It hurt, but I think you're right.
I'm
The
sorry.
truth hurts, you It
know.
does. Yeah. The truth does hurt sometimes. That's okay.
Yeah,
Okay, those were
children.
good. Those were
Children.
really good ones. Thank
Yeah.
y'all for coming in hot. I
We're
appreciate that.
ready. Took the
That
assignment.
was good. Okay, song of the week. I have a song. I'll kick it off. The song that I have this week is Bring It On related. It is As If by Black, which is on the soundtrack for Bring It On. Black had like a lot of hits in the late 90s, early 2000s, I want to say. Two of the biggest ones being As If, where As If goes like, as if, na, 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 as if. It's like very cute. And then Bring It All to Me featuring JC Chazé from
Backstreet
NSYNC.
Boys, yeah, one of those. NSYNC, yeah.
One of
It's
those.
one of them. It's one of them. Yeah. 100%. I
What
think
you're
it's
talking about.
NSYNC. Right, pretty sure it's NSYNC. But Bring It All to Me is one of my favorite songs of all time. So of course I had to go with the Black song. Yeah. Girl
Yes.
group. We love a girl group. Oh, and they were in Bring It On. The girlies from Black were in Bring It On. They were part of the
Oh.
Clovers.
Really? Oh
Mm-hmm.
my gosh. Wow.
It was great.
Love that
Love
deep
it.
cut. I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
What y'all got for your songs?
Okay, so my song is Paramore related because I was like, we're on Black People of Paramore. I gotta bring the Paramore Rex,
A crowd favorite. They're gonna love it.
And I feel like I really resonate with your pod because I love Paramore. And I remember having a conversation years ago with a friend, also another Black girly, and we're like, we both love Paramore. Why do all Black people love Paramore, right?
Yeah,
And it's
about
true.
it.
It's
It's
true.
true.
So my song of the week is a more recent Paramore song off
Okay.
their album from last year. This Is Why. This is my song of the week. I love that
Ooh.
song. It is so good. And what I love about Paramore is that they have really catchy songs, of course, but I feel like they're very topical and they're not just, soapy songs about love and boyfriends, right? But this is about, the culture and why our culture is so toxic. And this is why I don't leave the house, right? Love it. There was a point where it was just on repeat all the time last year. Got me through a lot.
Definitely feel that. Definitely feel that. I would also like to point out, this is why I don't leave the house. It's just such a black sentiment.
Yes,
Like I feel like non-black people don't even use the phrase the house. Like the house is such a black thing. Like I'm about to leave the house right now. I've never heard anybody else say that. So it just it all just goes back to the lore of black people love Paramore. So that's a
right.
great one.
Yes, for me, so Laura and I recently saw Renaissance, and
Yes, me
so
too.
I've just been listening to a lot of Beyoncé.
As you should.
Just
As you should.
24/7. And Summer Renaissance, I think, is my song. It's
That's a good one.
just
Great
so
choice.
good. I feel like I'm entering my own Renaissance. Like we're entering the
Hey.
Shelby Renaissance. So I resonate with
Okay.
that. Yes, revival, rebirth, it's coming.
Love that.
It's a song that I think when I first listened to the album, I was like, yeah, I like this, but it's just really grown on me. So Summer Renaissance is my
That's a great
song right
one.
now. Listening
That
to it
is a
all the time.
fantastic one. I didn't even like that. I didn't give that song enough. When it first came out, it was like one of the ones where I kind of like hit skip on it a few times.
Right.
And as I spun the album back, it was one that kind of lingered with me. And seeing
Yeah.
it live also does something different.
Truly. Where did you see Beyonce?
In LA, I saw her in LA at SoFi.
Ooh.
I saw her on the 1st of September. When'd y'all see her?
We saw
The
her the
second.
second.
Okay, so we were right there. I low key think that's where I got COVID from. I was in there, mouth agape, screaming at the top of my lungs. My boyfriend was like, "That's why you got that damn COVID," because he said he was sitting there quietly absorbing all of Beyonce as you're supposed to. He said I was doing it wrong with my mouth wide open, screaming on top of her.
We were like you, so maybe we did it wrong,
You know
but
what I mean? But clearly y'all didn't, because
fully good.
y'all didn't gather COVID from it. But here I am. So who's to say? I don't know.
If
But
you're
that's a
gonna
great
get
choice.
COVID, get it at Renaissance.
You know what?
That's
I
right.
said I was like, listen, obviously I didn't want to get it, but if I had to get it, it couldn't have been a better time. I got to see Beyonce already, and like, I don't have any major things coming up for the next like 2 weeks. I'll be all right. Yeah, go ahead and recover. You saw Beyonce. I would do it again if given the opportunity. So yeah, that was good. That was good enough. Okay, we can move on to Bring It On. So before we talk about it, I'll explain what Bring It On is for anyone who might not know. But if you clicked on this episode, I'm positive you know what Bring It On is. But just in case, straight from Wikipedia, per usual, Bring It On is a 2000s American teen comedy directed by Peyton Reed in his theatrical film directing debut and written by Jessica Bendinger, Bendinger, maybe. The film stars Kirsten Dunst, Eliza Dushku, Jesse Bradford, and Gabrielle Union. The plot of the film centers around two high school cheerleading teams' preparation for a national competition. Bring It On was released in theaters in North America on August 25th, 2000, and became a box office success. The film opened at number one spot in North American theaters and remained in the position for 2 consecutive weeks, earning a worldwide gross of approximately $90 million. The film received generally positive reviews and has become a cult classic. And I would definitely say that that sounds right. Cult classic is definitely where I would put this film, along with maybe like a couple other films. Jennifer's Body also gives me cult classic if y'all have ever seen that one. If you have not seen that one, you should definitely watch it for
Is it
Halloween for the
scary?
podcast. No, it's not scary. It's campy. It is definitely like campy. And when I first saw it as a kid, I didn't get it. And now that I rewatch it as an adult, I'm like, oh, this was way ahead of its time. It's really fucking funny and very camp. So definitely check it out if you have not. But yes, this also falls within that type of cult classic time for me. Question, y'all. What's your favorite character from Bring It On?
Laura, do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, Gabrielle Union, period. I mean, she's the
Naturally.
best part of the movie, right? Ace
Absolutely.
is
Truly.
incredible. I feel like she's the perfect amount of confident, sassy, but not, too much of a black stereotype, right? I feel like so many of these 2000s teen movies, it's like the sassy, aggressive black woman. And I think there was a little bit of that in the movie when, the white girls of San Diego, they were like, they're about to beat our asses. And it's like, were they actually going to fight you? No. Right? But so Gabrielle Union, Isis, slayed the movie. She stood up for her team. She was confident, and she didn't take pity from Kirsten Dunst and everyone else, right? Loved her.
That
She
was
was
such a
awesome.
good scene. She was like, nah, we don't need your money. But
I did like it.
yes.
She ripped it up. Did she rip it up?
I
Yes,
think
she did.
so,
That was
yes.
wild. That was wild. I said,
Wild.
damn, I don't know. Ripping up money sounds is a wild thing to do. I don't know if I had that in me. I might have taken the check and been like, I'm not
Right?
actually gonna cash this, and then, kept it for a rainy day. I don't know. But definitely feel that.
I agree with you, Laura. Isis was such a good character, and she really stole the show. I feel like this was like Gabrielle Union's coming out party. Like, she had been in like smaller roles before, but Bring It On was when we really got to see her shine. And like we said in the beginning, Kirsten Dunst as Torrance was like, kind of flat. So to like have Isis and Gab Union on the other side was just every time she was in a scene, your eyes went on her, were on her. She crushed it.
I fully agree. My favorite character definitely is Isis, Gabrielle Union's character. And then two other characters that I really like a lot. Cliff, played by Jesse Bradford, which is the love interest or Missy's brother. I don't know. He was real attractive in that film.
He was looking cute.
He looked good.
I don't know why, but I was into it. Like, I feel like something about it, like, he was kind of like the cool rocker guy, didn't care too much. I agree. I liked his storyline. Like, whenever he was on the screen, I was like, oh, I'm into this.
Same. And one thing about me, if I'm going to find a white boy attractive, which isn't the most, well, it's not the most frequent thing, but if I'm going to, he's definitely going to have dark hair, a darker eye moment, and don't let him pick up an electric guitar at any point, okay? Because I'm taken aback. I'm a little shook by that.
Check, check,
So
check.
yeah. He had all the boxes. It was check, check,
All
check.
the boxes.
He looked like he was probably of a decent height. You never really know with people on television or actors. They
Very
tend to be a
true.
little bit shorter. But he looked like he was about, about a 6 foot. He looked good. Cliff looked good.
He
That's it.
did look good.
And also Missy, naturally, another
Yes.
fave.
Yeah.
Loved Missy. That was the best friend character, the one with the let's not get into Missy's hair. I forgot. In the beginning scene, in that first scene when she first comes on and she has those white girl dreads. Is that what was going on? I was really unclear.
It was unclear, but I noted that in my notes. I was like, why does she have these fake locks going on?
What is it?
What is
Like
happening?
it looked like her hair was just bound together by grease. I don't know, and slipped into little ropes.
Did not look
It was
good.
kind of gross. It was weird. It was not only maybe a little bit cultural appropriation, but kind of gross looking. I don't know. I wasn't a teen at that time. I don't know what's going on with them, but that was weird. But she was still a great character. I'll put that aside.
Yes. She was like a good foil for Torrance, and
She
I liked how
was.
she was like pushing back on things, like the cool friend.
She was a little bit more ballsy than Torrance sometimes was.
Yeah.
And I like, she was from LA. They always
Yes, you
act
can
like
tell
people
she
from LA were just like
the
so spicy, right? They acted like people from LA were from New York at that point. I'm like, they're
LA energy.
from Los Angeles. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. Not that
We'll
spicy.
take that. Least favorite character or characters.
I feel like there's a lot in this movie,
Yeah,
and
could be anybody.
yeah. I will say someone who stood out was that cheer instructor who was feeding the same routine.
Sparky Pilastri.
Yes.
He
Was the worst.
was
The worst. I was so mad at him. Oh my gosh. He was so mean. He was like, you need to go on a diet. His dancing was horrible. The sparkle fingers,
Awful.
what is going on? Could not stand him.
Yeah, the dancing was horrible. We're gonna circle back to that. It wasn't even a good routine, but all right.
Awful, yeah.
Ugh. I also didn't like Big Red. First of all, it's such a weird nickname. I don't know. It's like Big Red. And she was just clearly the villain, stealing the routines from the Clovers, not really being helpful. And it just every time she was on screen, I was like, ugh, annoyed. Don't want any more of her. And what
Certainly.
was the boyfriend's name that was cheating on
Aaron,
Torrance?
that's who I
Aaron.
have listed. Yep.
Same.
Ugh. He was awful
Hated a
too.
Aaron. Yeah, he was
Nothing
awful.
redeeming.
Like
Nothing.
literally nothing. There was nothing. Everything I just mentioned about Cliff, Aaron was the full opposite of. So I'm like, not only are you like a bitch overall,
So
you
mean.
also don't got it like that.
No.
To be acting like this,
Yeah.
there's nothing to back it up. The face card's declining. What do you do? Like,
Right. And he was the one who referred Sparky to Torrance.
the whole problem. I forgot
Come
about that. Sparky
on. He was trying to convince the other girls to be captain instead of Torrance. Like everything he did was awful.
Clown. Like, what was the reason? I really need to understand the reason behind that. Why would you be like betraying your girlfriend to her frenemies, arch nemesis? What was
Insane.
the reason for that?
Didn't make sense. The only thing I can think of, he didn't want to be her girlfriend anymore. And he was like mad at her for some reason. But that still doesn't make sense to me.
Like, had to hate her guts. Like, it's like had
Truly.
to actually abhor this woman to be acting like this.
So bad.
Hey, Tia. Yeah, I have Aaron listed as well. He just not a redeeming piece. Something about the way this movie is written, and maybe it was just the time, but I don't really think any of the characters are dynamic in any way. Maybe just because it's a comedy? I don't know. But like, there's nothing where it's like usually for a villain, you're like, okay, but I'm rooting for you a little bit, because X, Y, and Z reason, or your protagonist has some characters that you're like, ew, I hate that about you, but whatever. Everybody was very cut and dry, like
One note.
very one note. Torrance was the protagonist. She didn't really have anything that we had to overlook. The villains were the villain. Big Red was horrible. Aaron was horrible. Everybody was just bad.
Right. I totally agree. I think they tried to bring some, dynamic aspects of Torrance, right? She was literally the white savior, right? She was
Yeah,
like, let me
she
help
tried
these
to be.
black people,
Yeah.
right? So I think they tried to give some background to her, being like, oh, she's a good person, there's development and growth, and she was happy when the Clovers won, right? I think they tried with her, but
Yeah.
not successfully. And I
Yeah.
was telling Shelby a huge critique for me from the movie is that we didn't get enough of the Clovers. I felt like they were only in a handful of scenes, right?
A lot more
So I feel
of
like there was so much to explore with Gab Union, Isis, and her whole squad. They could have brought so much dynamicism in the movie,
Yeah.
but such a missed opportunity.
Yes, I wholeheartedly
Completely
agree.
agree.
There's this rumor that they shot scenes of the Clovers just for the trailer that didn't actually exist in the film, because in focus groups, when they watched the trailer, they liked the Clovers. Like, people liked the Clovers. And so they went back, shot additional footage just for the trailer to make people come out and go see it. But they didn't actually shoot more of the film with the Clovers in it.
Toxic.
Yeah, very
You
toxic,
hate to
right?
hear that. Tricking us, making us watch a trailer where we're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be all with the Clovers. And then you get there and it's a
It's
different movie.
gonna be, and the Clovers are in a little tiny subset of it.
Units.
Like, sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Literally hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Very hoodwinked. And I was thinking, like, we deserve a spin-off of the Clovers now. The
Yes.
Clovers need to, since y'all refuse to come up with original IP anymore, go ahead and create a spin-off of shit that already exists. I talked about this yesterday on the Mean Girls episode. The Unfriendly Black Hotties need their spin-off, and the Clovers need their spin-off here. I have put together a little potential cast of who I think would be fun for the Unfriendly or for the Clover spin-off, maybe. Who I have here is.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
These are mostly musicians, because I feel like for a dancing heavy movie, musicians lend themselves a little bit better to that. So I have Justine Skye. I actually don't really know how Justine Skye dances. I don't know that I've seen her dance for real, but I'm gonna take a chance on Justine. Ryan
I could see it.
Destiny, who
Ooh,
was in a TV show called Star, that was kind of bad. It was pretty bad, but it was musical. They sang, they danced, so I know that she has it. I have Seven Streeter, who might be a tiny bit old for the role, but I feel like Black Don't Crack, so she could probably, appear to age down for the film. And a Tinashe, because
ooh.
she, has too much talent to be not getting the shine that she deserves. So this might be
Yes.
her little crossover moment. Yeah.
I love
Ooh,
that.
I
And
love that.
Thanks.
I
Thanks,
feel like
guys.
a highlight of just talking about shows and movies is like casting. That's always so funny to
Yes.
me. Like, yes, who could we put in this?
I fully agree.
So fun.
If y'all have any additions, please feel free. But no pressure, because I did not prep y'all for that. But yeah.
Wow. When I think of musicians, like younger musicians, I think I'd throw in Coco Jones.
Oh,
I just
definitely.
don't know like what her dancing energy is, But I feel like she'd be so good. I love her on Bel Air, so we know she can act.
Same.
So I put her in there.
Yeah, these are great suggestions. And one of our episodes, I think it's the Barbie one, Shelby, we cast, you know, a Bratz movie. You know, what would that look like, right? So yes. It's bringing me back to that great moment. So I love this idea. And a wild card, maybe we were just talking about Renaissance and maybe Blue Ivy, throw her in.
I'm not mad. Absolutely. I can see it. Yeah. Maybe she plays like a little sister of somebody or something.
Yes.
Exactly.
Solange was in one of the Bring It On, so make it a family affair.
She was.
There we go.
Yeah.
Blue Ivy's killing it on the tour, right? She is. She can get Bring It On for sure.
She could do it.
Absolutely. I'm not mad at that at all. That's pretty good. I'll take it. How old were y'all when y'all first saw Bring It On, if you remember?
Maybe 10 or 11, you know, and that's why it's interesting watching it again recently, because I think when you're young, I just remembered, oh my gosh, I love how the Clovers end up winning.
And do still.
You remember a few highlights, literally, but now watching it, I'm like, oh, there are like a lot of things we talked about, the one-dimensional characters and some of the villains that I didn't love as much. So I think it's I don't know how well the movie aged when I think about it.
Yeah, I think the movie came out in 2000. So I definitely watched it as a kid and I've rewatched it maybe in high school, but not super recently. So I definitely rewatched it, you know, just growing up. So I don't remember the first time, but I agree. Watching it back, I was like, some of the movies that were made in the 2000s are so unhinged. And I think this falls into that boat. Like we talked about, every time the Clovers were on screen, incredible moments. But everything else in the movie, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, it definitely is one of those movies that holds a very special place in my heart because it was a childhood movie. I watched it over and over. I think I was 7 or 8 when I first saw it. And I loved it. And every time I rewatch it as an adult, I'm like, okay. Like, some of the cheers are still pretty nostalgic and they feel good. I love the opening scene. I can recite all of the cheers, recite a lot of the lines. And so I enjoyed that a lot. But as a movie, particularly having just watched Mean Girls like yesterday, it's just loud. This one is just kind of glaring. That is it's just okay at a max. It is just okay. But it still holds a special place for me. So what I did is I broke this film up into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because it has lots of all three things. So let's start with the good. I feel like the Black girl representation is good.
Yes.
The ending is good. We love that the Clovers win.
Wow.
The early 2000s of it all is so fun. That's the nostalgia factor. I love it. The soundtrack is very good. I love the little song Cliff writes for Kirsten Dunst's character. You're just what I need. It's so cute. And it's very early 2000s. I'm like, I really enjoy that. That's the good. The bad is Kirsten Dunst dancing. It just like didn't hit.
No, just didn't hit.
Like I don't know what was going on there. And I know they did.
I don't think she's a dancer.
You know, like I know they did a cheer camp too. So I'm like, you took a few months, if I'm not mistaken, like 6 weeks or something. And like this is the best. Okay. I can't. Hey, I'm not a dancer. I'm not one to judge. I'm judging though.
Right.
And Sparky Pilastri's choreography routine, essentially what this tells me is that Black people are better with the dancing overall, which I think we knew. We probably knew that.
That's the takeaway.
I don't know that that's you know, right. I don't know that that's true for me. I can't really dance, but we can see it from the film that that's the general trend. And then the ugly. I thought it was important to address some of the body shaming, some of the casual use of homophobia and homophobic slurs from non-queer characters in the movie, as well as the fatphobia, as well as the sexual assault type stuff that happened in the film. The part where one of the male cheerleaders has the one of the girls up on his hand and he slips his digits somewhere where it shouldn't be, like, that just doesn't feel like something that we should just skip past too much.
Not okay.
Or the portion where they're like, they have one of the girls up and one of the male cheerleaders is like, do I look like a milkmaid because someone feels like a cow? Or the, in cheerleading, we throw people in the air and fat people don't go as high. Or Sparky lining all the girls up and talking about their bodies one by one.
Oh gosh.
It's just a lot, you know? Yes. There's a lot where I'm like, shit, like, this really just didn't age great at all. Which, of course, it's a movie from the 2000s, to be expected. But I feel like this was a little bit more egregious than other ones. I watch a lot of movies from the early 2000s, but I'm like,
agreed.
Y'all were just going out of your way to just throw shit in here.
Literally. Yeah, I totally agree with what you were saying. Yeah, Sparky was one of the most egregious examples of the fat shaming, the toxic diet culture, body dysmorphia. That was rough. And I agree, there was a lot of homophobia in this movie, like making fun of the male cheerleaders. That was really awkward. I agree, this felt especially cringy for a 2000s movie. And I also recently watched Mean Girls, and there were a couple, you know, kind of awkward moments. But I felt like it was every scene. There was a really off-putting joke.
Yeah.
Every scene. Yeah. And I think that shows you, like, this movie was maybe relying too much on, like, tropes and stereotypes that just were maybe prevalent early 2000s instead of, like, more, like, interesting, creative writing. Like, the writing was a lot of these very insensitive jokes that they leaned into.
Yeah, they did rely on some tropes. They definitely did do that. Yeah. And I want to say, like, I really keep wanting to be like, I get it, but like, I just don't. Not for Bring It On. I'm like, no, I really don't. Y'all really did a lot. Am I going to keep watching the movie? Yes, I will. And will I recite the lines? Yes, I will recite the lines. But each time I'm just like, this was just uncalled for. Lots of this was just uncalled for, I felt.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not even like the movie needed it, you know? Like, I think if you just take all those, like, really bad jokes out, or all of the Sparky nonsense, still, the movie holds.
The movie holds up, right. Yeah. The black team, you know, beat the white savior trying to BS white team. And at the end of the day, cultural appropriation loses every time. That was it.
It's a great moral of the story.
You know, the moral of the story holds up. It's pretty good. If I'm not mistaken, did y'all ever see the other Bring It On movies? Specifically, did y'all ever see In It to Win It? Or not In It to Win It. All or Nothing with Solange.
I remember seeing that because Hayden Panettiere, I think, was in it too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that one is the reverse of this one. The Bring It On movies just couldn't get it right. They just really couldn't get it right. And I don't know what was going on, but it was just a struggle. But that one was the reverse of this one, in which the white team was so racist in the All or Nothing one. I also went back and watched that one recently for a different podcast I was on. I was on the Guilty Pleasures podcast, if y'all want to go see us talk about Bring It On, All or Nothing. But that was kind of the reverse, in that the whites, the moral wasn't that cultural appropriation loses in that one. It was kind of just like, yeah, LOL, they were just racist. Like, okay, I don't understand. So yeah, the freaking All writers were struggling a little bit.
But yeah. Definitely a missed opportunity, because Laura and I were talking about this. I think it's great to have, like, a cheerleader film and a lot of representation, particularly for black women, because you typically don't see us as cheerleaders depicted on screen. So I think that was really great about this movie. And they had an opportunity to really build upon it. And to your point, I think the sequels just didn't hold up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely that. But I have a list of iconic lines from Bring It On, because some of the lines do hold up. So I'll go through them and then I'll group them and y'all decide which ones have to go.
Ooh, let's do it.
Okay.
Were the ethnic festivities to your liking today? Says Lava of the Clovers when the white girls come in to see what they're doing. Like, are the ethnic festivities to your liking? I like that one. That was a good one. Burr, it's cold in here. I said there must be some Taurus in the atmosphere. I know you didn't think a white girl made that shit up. Isis, Gabrielle Union, another great one. Every time we get some, here y'all come trying to steal it, putting blonde hair on it and calling it something different. Isis, first of all, a timeless one. That one's timeless.
Woo.
That's the world of social media that we live in today. Fucking Hailey Bieber, strawberry glazed lips.
I can't.
Here anything you go, Kardashian. I'm telling you, anything Kardashian. Here y'all go, literally, putting some blonde hair on it and calling it something different. Fucking, what did Bo Derek braids? Kim had those braids for a while, the Fulani braids, but she called them.
Yes.
Enough.
And everyone thought it was something new.
Enough. Everyone was like, oh, we need Bo Derek's. Okay. Don't piss me off. Like, there's just way too much going on. What's another one? These are not spirit fingers. These are spirit fingers. That was a fun one. The cheer, awesome, oh wow, like totally freaked me out at me right on. Toro sure are number one. Another cheer, hate us because we're beautiful, but we don't like you either. We're cheerleaders. We are cheerleaders. Roll call. Yeah.
What?
Now, of the iconic lines, if you could only keep one of them.
Oh.
Which one would you choose? Also, if you need me to share my screen, I can do that. If you need to see them.
I think I know which one I would keep.
You know.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, Burr, it's cold in here. I mean, that is so iconic. People say that to this day, right? I think that is the longest lasting one, right? And I think that's transcended Bring It On. So that has to stay because it's here, right? People are still using it.
Yep.
That's got to stay.
I also doubt people remember that it's from Bring It On because it's said all the time. Like, Bring It On needs to find a way to make sure people give it its props since it originated there.
Yeah, I agree.
This is so hard. I feel like everything Lava and Isis said were so good. Like,
yeah, definitely.
So good. But I think the quote about the blonde hair and it just, to your point, it's like so timeless. And that's what I love about like some of my favorite movies. Like they can be released at any time and still matter and still have a moment. And I think that's a line that you said in any generation, people will resonate.
For sure.
So I think that's the one.
Definitely. Every single time the Kardashians do anything, you could literally drop that under the comment. You could drop that under the tweet and it resonates. It holds up. It could be used for so many different scenarios that actually happen in today's world in 2023. So yeah, I think I might have to keep that one as well, but both of them kind of, because Bird's Cold in Here is, I didn't know. I used to hear that when I was a kid and I had seen Bring It On and I didn't know it was from Bring It On. I'd be like, yeah, it is cold in here. Yeah, I get it. I didn't get it. It was from Bring It On.
So good.
Yeah. Also a great one. Favorite scenes. Do y'all have a favorite scene from this movie?
I feel like the first, when we first meet the Clovers and Isis and Lava and them confront them, like I kind of had forgotten how they interact and they first meet each other. And it was just cool to see how badass the Clovers were. They were killing it with the cheer. Looked a lot better on them than we.
Mm-hmm. It looked different. That was a whole different cheer. Yeah, right?
It looks a lot different than with the Toros. So I liked that. And then seeing Gab and Isis and Lava confront them and like Lava giving that line, it was just, they brought the energy and you're like, okay, yes, the Clovers are here, and this is why I'm watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree.
Great one.
I think for me, I loved when Torrance was giving White Savior and was like, oh, my dad got the money for you and the Clovers to go to the Nationals. And Gabby Union just ripped it up in front of her face. That was amazing. And then you see the Clovers writing their letter, being like, I forgot the talk show host name, but I love.
I think it was Loretta or Loretta. Did I make that up? I don't know. I might have made that up.
That sounds close enough.
Right? Yeah. It sounds right.
I'm not sure, but I love that whole sequence where they're writing the letter and then they're on the show and they're like, we're going to Nationals. Thank you so much. I just, Black people doing it for themselves. I really love that whole sequence, ripping up that check and getting the money on their own. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is a great one. Yeah. I like how both of y'all's favorite scenes include the Clovers, when that's probably like two of the three scenes that the Clovers are in. And mine also includes the Clovers. Mine is when the Clovers show up to the football game and perform their cheer with them.
Wow.
It's just such a fun scene. It is such a fun scene. And once again, they looked a lot better doing the cheer than the Toros did on the field. So, per usual. I don't know. Also really like the fashion of the time. I really like the way Gab Union is dressed for a majority of the movie. And it's not like she's wearing anything crazy. Like in that scene, she has on a pair of light wash mom jeans, like high rise denim mom jeans, and like a very cropped gray hoodie. And it's just such a cute outfit to me, and like a sneaker, and her hair is done in the very cool early 2000s, late 90s way. And I'm just like, wow, I miss this so much. I wonder if I did this for Halloween, if anybody would know who I was, or would I just look like myself? I don't know. The fashion has come back so much where I'm like,
you might just look like normal.
I
had
on a costume. Yeah, I was like, I might just look normal. I don't know. But yes, that one is my favorite scene, also including the Clovers, because they're the best part of the movie.
Period.
Yeah. I don't think I had anything else. Oh, is this y'all's favorite Bring It On movie? Or is there another one that y'all enjoyed more than this one?
This is my favorite. I feel like the Clovers in this one are so iconic.
Yeah.
And the other, because I think there were three, right? Three movies? Or
there was like five.
Wow.
There was Bring It On, Bring It On Again, Bring It On All or Nothing, Bring It On In It to Win It. And then there was a fifth one that came out in 2017 that I don't remember the name of. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So I definitely didn't see the 2017 one.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
And yeah, definitely the first Bring It On I think is the best.
I 100% agree. This is the one that I remember the most, of course. I've seen it the most times. I do remember the Solange Hayden Panettiere one, but this is the first Bring It On is one that people remember. It's the most iconic. You That's see the cool. costumes every Halloween, right? This is the movie. Definitely my favorite.
Everyone is a Clover, literally.
Everyone is a Clover. I don't know that I've ever seen the Rancho Carne Toros ever.
Can't you even make that costume? I've only ever seen
I'd be hard pressed to find that damn costume. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny.
That's real. I think I watched All or Nothing more because I owned it on DVD. I don't know that I owned this one on DVD. I just saw it when it was on TV or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I own All or Nothing on DVD. But this one is definitely better than All or Nothing. All or Nothing is cringy in a way that's like not in on the joke. I feel like this one is cringy because it's dated.
Mm-hmm.
But that Bring It On All or Nothing was cringy the moment that it came out. It was like,
had no hope.
How do we get here? Like, what's going on? One of the characters, Winnie, one of the blonde girls, said something about, made a yo baby daddy joke, which was weird in 2006, 2007. It was like, okay,
yikes.
Sure. The part of the movie where the main love interest is like crumping on Hayden Panettiere. Y'all, oh my God. I want y'all to go back and watch this one so bad because it's actually wild. Rewatching it as an adult, it's yikes. Like I had to strap myself to the couch to make sure that I sat there and finished it because I wanted to get up and run and gag often.
No.
It was just a lot. It was just a lot. Him crumping on her, literally, he like crumps on her arm, like circles her in a circle. It's like, it's so, oh God, it is cringy. It's hard. Just, it's hard. No.
You describing it sounds tough. I'm mm-hmm, like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, go check it out. Do a little hate watch. It's fun. But yeah, no, I don't think I had anything else. Is there anything else about the movie that y'all want to chat about? Anything I missed?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I was reflecting because, of course, we're coming on your Incredible Pod, watching this movie, and I was like, why do Black people, like, bring it on, right? And yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Clover costumes, Gab Union, of course. But also, we love seeing Black people win, right? And the ending just felt so, it's so correct. You're like, yes. This is, yes. It felt like reparations, right? Like, they stole from us the cultural appropriation, right? But no, we got the money, we made it here on our own, and we won. We won.
Yeah.
It just felt, yeah. The ending felt so right. So I was like, so yeah, good. We're seeing Black excellence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It did feel right. It felt correct. Mm-hmm.
It did. That's such a good point. We love seeing ourselves win because it doesn't happen often. So when it does, we're like, yes, let's keep watching, celebrating, need that in my life.
Right.
I think that's such a good point. And to your point, I think it's aspirational. It was much needed to like have that kind of representation. And I think if the movie was nothing but the Clovers, Black people would just be so happy. Like, that's the reason why we watch Bring It On. Not for definitely. Kirsten Dunst.
No.
No, definitely not. No. I also felt, like, really good that the Black girls weren't subject to any of the body shaming and stuff that we saw in the Rancho Carne Toros High School. That felt good. So it's like, it was a win for Black girls. I don't know. The movie was a win. For the Black girlies. Yes. I love that for us, and I loved it for us then. I love it for us now, and it was a great time. But yeah, that is all I had. Thank you so much for coming on, y'all. It was such a pleasure having you.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. Your podcast really resonates with me, and this was just such an exciting opportunity. Thank you, Sequoia.
No.
So nice.
Of course. Thank you so much. Please let the folks know where they can find you on the internet and refresh their memory about your podcast and whatever else you would like to chat about.
Yes. So Laura and I are Sisters Who Watch. You can find our podcast wherever you stream podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, you name it, we're there. We also have a YouTube channel, Sisters Who Watch, where you can subscribe, comment, watch our clips. See our faces. We have a website, sisterswhowatch.com. You can email us, sisterswhowatch@gmail.com. Find us on all social media channels at Sisters Who Watch, on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, X. We are there.
Yes, we're professionals.
Yes,
we review the hottest in entertainment. We just finished recording our Renaissance episode, so we're going to talk about that. Barbie, Oppenheimer, Love is Blind, The Bachelorette, everything. So if you love TV, movies, just like us, you'll love our podcast.
Yes.
Beautiful. Fantastic. It was so good having y'all. And per usual, you can find me across all social media platforms at BPLPpod. And you can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com with episode topic recommendations, hate mail, feedback, and anything else. That's it. Talk to y'all later. Bye.